morning, everybody. Welcome to Church on the Rock. Welcome to all of those tuning in online. It's so good to have you. Hey, I was listening to your worship this morning and the sounds of your voices and the way that you were calling out on God. I so loved it. I thought it was beautiful and amazing. Here's what I want to do. I just want to ask you, would you just give God some praise right now? Would you just give him your best right now? Amen. 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 Hey, it's good to see you. Happy New Year. I hope that all of the holiday season was great for you. I hope that you ate too much on Thanksgiving, that you saw great family at Christmas, that you enjoyed fireworks on New Year's Eve. I'm glad you're in church today. I'm really, really excited about what I'm going to share with you today. I want to do, it's probably going to feel a little different, I think, maybe at least for me. Maybe you'll notice it's a little different if you call this church your home, but there's no message handouts to give you today. There's no notes for you to click on links online. I didn't prepare any of that stuff. We didn't ask any of our team to do any of that stuff except for our amazing production team that I want to give a little special shout out to because they did prepare everything that's going to go on this screen. So thank you to the production team, specifically Rob and Tim, who I know took part in it. You guys are awesome. They're right back there. But what I want to do today is I just talk to you? Is that okay? I just would like to kind of conversationally talk to you. And I want to talk from a place of where just God has me and what God's been doing in me. And so let me give you a slight bit of context about myself. I am a person who naturally pushes back on trends. I don't get down. I am not a bandwagon type of a guy at all. When stuff sort of becomes popular and like everybody's into it, I'm just the person that sort of pushes back, right? You guys remember when the Salt Life stickers were really a big deal? Come on, all of y'all locals around here, come on, show me your hands. I need to see you. Help me out a little bit today. I have about 3.5 of you. And then it was like Salt Life, and then it was like Weightlifting Life, then it was like Mud Life, and then it was like Window Sticker on My Car Life. Like, come on, can we be original? And so I was the guy that would vehemently never have anything Life sticker on my car. I'm not that person. I'm not going to root for the team that just keeps winning because they keep winning. I'm going to be faithful to the Miami Dolphins who need to beat the Titans in Nashville today. Come on, guys. I've been praying for you. I just push back. And so I say this contextually to say this. Have you ever been around like the church or the preacher or the pastor that like the new year's coming and like all of a sudden somehow the change from like that year to this year, we left December and now it's January and all of a sudden everything's gonna be awesome. You ever been around that? Okay, you guys gonna help me this morning? I'm gonna preach to the 11 and there's a competition you're in. I don't know if you know that. But like, I've never been the guy that's like, it's gonna be great in 2008. Like that's, I just was like, nah, man, I don't do that. That's just not who I am. It's not how we roll. But I have to say that I am very, very, very excited about 2022. Very excited. I cannot even express to you, I don't even know how to define it, but on the inside, there is this super building sort of energy on the inside of me about what I think God is gonna do in the new year. And so I want to talk a little bit about that with you, if that's okay. You guys all right with that? Just want to talk about what I think God's gonna do, but I want to do it by going back to what God has done. And so this is something, again, I'm talking about me for a moment because I want to help us. Does that make sense? So like, I'm such, and some of you are going to resonate with this, you are exactly like this, I am such a forward thinker that I almost never live in the moment. Anybody else? I'm just looking for some support this morning. It's a brand new year. All right, I'm getting some hands. I knew, Kelly, I knew already because we talk about it. I am such a like, what's next? Next achievement, what's ahead of us, vision guide that sometimes I won't even enjoy what's going on around me. So it's like all of a sudden, like I look down and my kid used to be an infant and now she's married. And it's like, what happened? You know what I'm saying? Because I sometimes miss moments. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to settle down a little bit and I want us to just kind of embrace and enjoy a moment. And I just want to talk about the story of our church a little bit. And I want to really just kind of go back to 1 year ago this week. 1 year ago this week. Now, some of you are new to our church, or maybe you're just visiting and you don't know if this is going to become your church home or whatever, but 1 year ago this week, some of us will vividly remember that our church doors to our building weren't even open. 1 year ago. to the public. We were in like a weird kind of a place. Church on the Rock, you know, like all churches did when COVID started to just sweep the world and change everything. We, like everybody else, closed our doors. And then we, like everybody else, reopened our doors. And then we, unlike anyone else, reclosed our doors. And it was one of the craziest, most radical decisions I've ever made as a leader. I even had my pastor friend saying, like, you're radical, which is a nice way of saying you're crazy. Like, really? Is that what you're doing? Like, yeah, well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to close back down. And here's why we did it. Is that all of a sudden when we opened the doors back up, I started to recognize that, like, people were coming back to attend, but people were not coming back to make a difference. And so we had a few people working overtime to serve a lot of people. And I was watching the burden and the strain on those few people. And listen, if you're on my team, I'm going to do everything in my power to protect my teammates. And I just said, this ain't going to work. And so we just got together with some prayer and some conversation, and Church on the Rock decided to go back to online only, and we were going to relaunch our serve team. And I made 28 phone calls and got 24 people to say, I will join you in this effort. And we started over with 24 of you. So we're going to get this done. We're going to relaunch our serve team, and we're going to actually make a difference in our community and in our church family. And man, God has done some incredible things. And so I want to just sort of go back. Is that okay? I want to talk to you for a few moments. I want to look back. I want to actually sit in this moment and enjoy what God did in us last year. So last year, and I'm going to just sort of run this through some categories. You can follow along on the screen. But just in our church services, just like these Sunday services last year, we saw 22 people make decisions to follow Christ Jesus with their life. 22 of them. You can go ahead and cheer for that one. That's the most important one right there. So 22 people made decisions that, you know what, I'm going to give my life to Christ Jesus. I'm going to follow him from here on out. We saw 53 people like rededicate their lives to God. That, you know what, I've gotten far from God and I'm just away a little bit. And so 53 people said, man, I'm going to get back on track with God and follow him with my life. We baptized 32 people last year, which is what we like to call, yeah, amen, amen. There's going to be a lot of this, all right? I'm going to give you a lot of numbers this morning. But we call baptism like the wedding band of Christianity. Let me explain, okay? This tells people that I'm not available. I'm taken. They're like somebody's got me. And so baptism is like an expression. It's like an outward expression of an inward change. And so we call it the wedding band of Christianity, man. It's like, hey, I'm going to be buried to that old person and all that sinful nature. I'm going to be washed and cleansed and raised to new life again. And 32 individual people made that decision, did that with us last year. We had 148 first-time guests just visit our building at Church on the Rock last year. And by the way, all of these numbers are documented. So like people filled out connection cards. I'm not even counting the salvations that may have happened in life groups, that may have happened in your workplace, that may have happened just we're talking about Sundays only, and we're talking about people that actually told us, like, hey, we came to your church and we were confident and comfortable enough to like let you know we came to your church. It was pretty awesome. And so I just look back and I'm like, man, I thank God for that, especially thinking back that just a year ago, like the doors weren't even open for this. It was just online only. It's pretty awesome. Something else that happened was life groups. We had 252 people a part of our fall life groups last semester. I don't remember how many groups we had. That's the thing. I had it and it never translated. Do you know? Ish.
About 30.
About 30 individual groups made up 252 of you just being a part of like life together. Not Sundays, just life together. So when your world starts coming apart, you actually have people to talk to and pray for you and help you. 252 of you were a part of that. Last year, we had 310 people serve 22 different projects through the outreach that we do at St. Augustine, at Church on the Rock, throughout our community. We had 310 of you say, I'm going to make a difference outside of this church building and outside of a Sunday and outside of just like my normal life. I'm going to go make a difference. And 22 projects were served by you all through groups. It's pretty awesome. Let's just keep celebrating. Let's keep looking at what happened. All access, by the way, is like, if you're interested in like, I want to know more about this church, or I want to get involved in this church, all access is what we call it. That's the steps, three easy steps, we say, that you can take part of that'll tell you everything you need to know about our church and help you get involved if that's what you want to do. Well, in step one, 100 people, and even 100 people were a part of step one last year. In step two, 90 people were a part of that. And then in step three, we had 84 people that were a part of that. Check it out. We had 82 of those 100 say, this is my church home. I'm with you. I buy into the vision, and I want to just run with you, be a part of Church on the Rock, which is pretty awesome. And then we had 75 people, new people, serve on our serve team. Like, all right, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to make a difference. Amen. Look, just hold the cloud. I know it's like you kind of want to or whatever. We're just going to see it all. All right. 75 people, which I just contextually, I can say, man, I remember when it was 24. It wasn't that long ago. And we have 75 people in addition, just in one year. How about our serve team currently, 225 people and growing that make a difference and serve on our serve teams. We have a total of 24 teams that make unique differences in the weekends. We have an average of 68 of you that make a difference on Sundays. Like you serve and you're doing something. We have people that serve on a Friday. We have people that serve different times of the week, but an average of 68 people a week are making a difference to do what we do in terms of our services and so forth at Church on the Rock. Okay, that was the last one of that one. And then we've got another one. Giving, last year we gave over $105,000. And when I say give, like we gave it away, we gave it outside of our church. We gave it in three major categories: local, national, and international. Outreach is the categories in which we give, and we gave to more than 40 different unique organizations. And I put more than 40 because we are still, by the way, in the distribution process of our impact offering from a few weeks ago. And so just kind of letting you know that. It's looking different this year than it's ever looked. And we're actually still in the process of making those distributions. So these organizations and these people that were impacted are only going to really increase. Okay, so that's a conservative amount of places that it went. And here's what I want to do. I just want to pause and say, like, isn't that awesome?
Amen.
It is awesome. And I think it's something that we should look at and go, man, look at what God did. And for us, if I may just sort of, again, I just want to have a conversation. I remember in 2014, based on the guidance of one of my mentors, I put together a budget, an annual budget for Church on the Rock. I put it together, and I was following the guidance of a mentoring voice and some other things that I'd found, and whatever, the details don't matter. And I built for the first time the budget in which, like, the way that our church now budgets its resources, and we've only gotten better and better and better year over year over year. And I remember putting that whole annualized budget together. And I remember presenting it to the board of directors and saying, hey, in 2014, I would really like to see us start to function financially in this method and in this way. I've done a lot of research, and I've got a lot of help putting all this together. And this is what I think we should do and how we should spend our resources in 2014. And that number was $74,000. Don't clap. Don't clap. $74,000 to do everything. Every service, every outreach, everything, $74,000 was the first budget that we ever ran in the model in which we run today. And this year, just this year alone, we gave away over 100. And so when I just think of that, I just think to myself, that's pretty amazing. The first Sunday that I was the lead pastor of this church, this is no exaggeration, and I know it sounds a little crazy, but 12 people were here. 12. Five of them got in my car and drove from my house to be here. 12 people. And so when I see 22 salvations, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's, like, I thank God for that. And I just think to myself, man, it's pretty amazing. And listen, because I've been around for the whole story, I could go line by line of every number we looked at, and I could say, oh, I remember when. This number means a lot to me because I remember when. This number has a lot of significance because I remember when. And so for me, I'm an achievement thinker. I am a quantifiable guy. I like to see results. I like to know that the efforts that we put forth actually work, that they do something. And so we've created a culture around Church on the Rock, and particularly within our staff and teams, that's really big about feedback, honesty, and measurement. And is it working? And is the time and the energy and the resources actually making a difference in people's lives? And so we've created this culture where we are constantly improving. We're constantly asking. We are constantly putting ourselves, I like to use military term, toes on the line. Like, hey, like we are going to, like God has entrusted us to serve people. Now, some people get a little bothered by numbers. It bothers them. Like, oh my gosh, it's all about the numbers. And I would like to respectfully push back on that a little bit. Just respectfully. And I use this a little bit jokingly, but a little bit honestly, because I've thought about this before. Like, answer the question for me. How many people did Jesus feed with some fish and some bread? How many was it?
It was 5,000.
It was more than that, but documented 5,000 in the Bible. How many disciples did Jesus have? He had 12. And these little things, how many days did Jesus fast in the wilderness? 40 days. And listen to me, we only know these numbers because someone counted. Because it was quantifiable. And we see this life change happen because someone was documenting like the results of the effort.
Amen.
And so what I want to say is this, that for us at Church on the Rock, it isn't about the numbers. But we measure everything we can. Why? And I want you to hear this loud and clear. Because every number has a name.
Yes. Amen.
And every name has a story. And so there's 22 names of people that made a decision in 2021 to follow Jesus for the first time. And there's 22 stories that are going to be told, and there's potentially 22 generations that are going to be impacted. And so for us, the numbers have names, and the names have stories, and so we quantify. And so what I wanted to do this morning is just look back for a few moments and say, man, look at what God did, and I want to be thankful for it. Like, I just want to say, God, you're good. And thank you for your goodness, and thank you for what you've allowed us to do. Thank you that you've given us the privilege to make a difference and to see your hand move in people's lives because of what we do at Church on the Rock. However, I want to say this, that I believe that God has so much more for Church on the Rock. Like, a lot more. A lot more, actually. And I'm giddy with the excitement about what God's going to do in 2022. And that did rhyme a little bit, and I didn't mean to, but I'm on that bandwagon right now. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in 2022. Come on, everybody. That will not be our thing. But I do believe, listen to me carefully, that God has more. Because I believe there are more people that need Jesus, and more people that need to rededicate, and more people that need to be baptized, and more people that need to engage and serve, and more people that need to experience the hope of Christ, and more names, and more stories of people that are going to be impacted by what God is going to do at Church on the Rock. Say amen right there, because it's good. And so I want to share this verse with you. It comes from an example of the life of Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's using some terminology because he knows how to connect to people really well, and he picks up on this saying that people say, and he said, you know the saying, I mean, this makes no sense to us, but in context, it probably made perfect sense to them. You know the saying that 4 months between planting and harvest. But Jesus said, he says, I say, wake up and look around. Look around because the fields are already ripe for harvest. And I just, Church on the Rock, I just want to ask you to look around and recognize the fields and how ripe they are for a harvest. Look around us. Think about it. We live in one of the fastest growing communities in the nation. Truly. Just look around at the people coming into our community and the schools being built and the housing developments and the apartment complexes and the people that are coming in. I want you to narrow it down just a little bit and just think about your own sphere of influence and the people that you work with and the people that you have that are neighbors at your neighborhood and the people that are around you. And I just want you to think, like, look at the field. Is it ripe for harvest? Narrow it down just a little bit more and think about just your family and the people that you're connected to because you were born into something or you married into something. And I want you to look at the field and I want you to say, is the field ripe for harvest? And then you can narrow it down just a little bit more to maybe the people that live in your home. And I want you to ask the question when you look around, is the field ripe for harvest? Then we'll narrow it down just a little bit more and look inside of ourselves and ask the question, is the field ripe for harvest? And I would like to say, yes, it is. That I think God wants to do a mighty work in our church in all of these areas, in me and in my family and in my extended family and in my neighborhood and in my community and in my city. I think that God is trying to do something big and I think he's willing to do it in us. And so I want us to just look, like, let's look around and begin to believe God for what he wants to do in our church in 2022. Amen, everybody? Like, I'm excited because the field is ripe for harvest. So I want to just show you some other numbers. May I? Just other numbers. It's all about numbers today, okay? All right, some other numbers is this, that Church on the Rock is committed to one purpose, just one. And that purpose is this, that we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they will become fully devoted followers of Christ. One purpose. We're focused on that thing. We're going to reach them. We're going to disciple them. We want them to be fully devoted followers of Christ. I want you to notice that we are committed to one purpose, to see four things happen in people's lives. Four things. We want them to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Amen. How many of you guys have ever heard that before? All right, good. Get used to it. I'll never stop saying it. I'll never stop because it's who we are and it is what we do. Amen, everybody? All right, so let's make this practical because we went from looking at this big field to a smaller field. And I intentionally said, look at your own life and is that field ripe for harvest? And so what I want to do is challenge you today. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge me. I want to challenge Church on the Rock. And here's what I want to do. I want to ask you a question. And what I want to ask is, what would your life look like if? What would it look like if you went to church 52 times this year? That's every week. What would it look like if you went to church and said, you know what? I'm gonna make it a priority to be in God's house. Like, it's not an option, it's a priority. I don't go if it's convenient, I go because I've purposed to go. What would your life look like if you committed to 21 days of prayer and fasting this month? What would it look like? What would it look like if you said, you know what, that's what I need to do. I need to be the one that says, all right, fine, this is gonna finally be the year that I'm gonna put this fasting thing to the test, that I'm gonna see what God wants to deposit in my spirit because I pushed away things that my flesh would desire. This morning, I heard multiple members of our team say what I've been thinking for a couple of weeks now, I can't wait for our fast. To which normal people would be like, y'all crazy. But spiritual people understand the value. They understand the value of what can happen when we make that kind of resolution. Yeah, I said it. On New Year's. Come on. What would your life look like if you just took three easy steps in All Access this year? You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm gonna find out, what is my church actually about? And what step do I need to take? And these are the first three. What would your life look like if you just took those three easy steps? I got more questions for you. What would your life look like if you joined one life group in the three semesters that we have here at Church on the Rock? Spring, summer, and fall. What would it look like if maybe this spring, in just a few weeks, when we kick off our spring life group semester, if you said, you know what, this is it. Sundays are good. I like being in the rows, but I need to get in a circle. We're good in rows. We're great in circles. Come on, it's better when it's relational. What would it look like if you committed to make a difference by serving one or two times per month this year? What would it look like? But you know what? I've been at the church. I've been served by the church. I've received from the church. I'm actually going to go to the church and make a difference. I'm going to serve someone else. I'm going to make a difference in someone else's life. What would it look like for you? Here's the question. What would it look like if you prayerfully invited one friend to come to church with you this month? One friend. What would it look like if you prayerfully invited one more the next? And the next. And the next. And the next. Here's the question I really want to ask you, Church on the Rock. Listen, what would your life look like if you did what your church does this year? What would it look like? What would it look like if this wasn't just the church you attended? It was the church you were a part of. Amen. What if it wasn't just about songs and messages, but it was about individual people's lives? What would it look like if it wasn't just about you, but it became about others? What would it look like? Church, I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like I'm preaching in a tough atmosphere this morning, but I'm going to preach what God put in my heart today. And I believe with everything inside of me that God wants to do things in us this year that we've never seen before. I believe with all my heart God's going to take us where we've never been before. I believe that our vision to be radical and expand into the St. Augustine High School auditorium is going to be the catalyst for something phenomenal in what God wants to do in this church. I believe that creating more space for more people that fulfill our mission, that we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that when we begin to live the purpose, and listen to me carefully, individually engage in the mission. What would it look like if my life did what my church does? If I took those steps, if I leaned into those moments, if I was a part of groups and I was a part of prayer and I was a part of fasting and I was a part of serving and I was a part of praying and I was a part of making a difference, not only in my church family, but in my community, what would your life look like? I'm gonna tell you why I preach this message today, because a couple of years ago, I just gave a very simple challenge like this. It was just really simple. And the only thing I challenged was, what would your life look like in 1 year if you just made church your priority? If you just came 52 times this year? That's all I said. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that day because I actually started my year with a resolution that I kept. And my life changed. I think of Stormy. I think of Allie. I think of other people that have come to me and said, it was that day. God did something powerful in my life because of the challenge you gave on that day. And so today, after hearing enough people come to me and say, that was important for me, that was a moment for me, I said, all right, I'm gonna double down. And I'm going to triple down, and I'm just going to invite you and me. What if we engaged? What if we really engaged and said, all right, if this is my home, then I'm going to serve and make a difference in my home. If this is my home, I'm going to do what my church does. And here's why I'm challenging us. Because in Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, look, I want you to notice the language here, look, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Here's what I like about all this. I'm going to work backward, forward. First of all, Jesus is like, I just want to have a relationship with you. Like, I want to be your friend. Mealtime is a place where you actually engage with people. This was culturally like ginormous in that time, that one of the strongest ways to have friendship grow and build was around a meal. And some of us have experienced that in our own families and our own homes and so forth and so on. That's why a lot of life groups have food. It is. Like, all right, like, I wasn't so interested in your backyard, but I like chicken wings. I'm coming. All right, I'll be there. You know. And then all of a sudden, I meet a friend that changes my life forever. Like, I don't know how I could do life without you. God put you in my life. You know what I'm saying? Come on, y'all awake this morning? I'm just trying to preach the truth. All right. What I like is that he says, like, I'll come into your world. Because some of you, you're like, not my world. Oh, no, man, if you knew me, if you knew my story, if you knew my mistakes, if you knew my bad habits, if you knew the things, but blah, 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 blah. No. You don't understand the love of Jesus. It's amazing how much more he wants to come into your story and be a part of your life. I think it motivates him more. I don't know. But what I like is that he says, I stand at the door and I knock. Listen to me. Jesus is in pursuit of people. Jesus is pursuing you. He's not waiting on you to get it together and pull your life together and you get down to the church and you do that stuff and blah, blah, blah. And so Jesus doesn't have some scorecard in heaven where it's like, well, did he go to church 52 times? No, he missed a couple of Sundays, went on vacation. 49 won't do. Did she get in a life group in a semester? No, she missed one, two out of three. Like, this is not the Jesus that we serve. The Jesus that we serve overwhelmingly pursues people, all people from every nation, all people from every color, all people from every background, from every social status, all people with every sin, all people with every kind of issue that you can imagine from every walk of life possible. He's in pursuit of you. He's just overwhelmingly pursuing you with his love to come in and have relationship with you, because it is an encounter and a walk with Jesus that makes us right before God, not our duties. But the question that I'm asking this morning is, if Jesus is in such pursuit of me, shouldn't I also be in pursuit of the same people that he's in pursuit of? And my challenge for this year, I believe that for us to see God do what God wants to do, we're going to have to take the mission personally. Just what would my life look like if this year I simply did what my church does? And then all of a sudden, I believe that we'll see a bunch of numbers that have names, have stories to tell, that will transition their lives beyond these walls. Amen, everybody? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to land the plane right here. Worship you. Maybe you're in the church this morning and never made a decision to follow Jesus, and this would be the moment in which it's time. This is your day. This is how you're going to start your year. This is your moment right now to make 22 become 23. You know what? I'm going to be that person that makes the decision to follow Jesus. I want to invite you to do that right now. Maybe you're like those 53 others that, man, I just need to get back in a tight relationship with God again. I just need to do it. Well, guess what? He's standing at the door and he's knocking. He's in pursuit of you. And he's like, come on, let's do this. I want to have a connection and a relationship with you. And so what I'm going to do is lead us in a very simple prayer. And what I want to ask you to do is repeat that prayer after me. This is an important moment for many people's lives, and so I always ask everybody in the room to pray this prayer out loud with me, because I want those of you saying it for the first time to be able to say it with complete confidence. Here's what I want you to pray. I want you to say, Dear Jesus. Come on, 9:30. I'm going to need y'all. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Now come on, let's put our hands together, give God some praise. Congratulations to those that made that decision.